हारे जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो 20th चैप्टर लॉर्ड विष्णुज अपीयरेंस इन द सैक्रिफिशियल एरिना टेक्स्ट 3 शुधिया By His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O King, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activity for others is considered best amongst human beings. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is different from the soul. Please repeat after me. O King, purported by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, in daily life we find that when a madman commits murder, he is excused even by a high court judge. The idea is that a living entity is always pure because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he falls into the clutches of material energy, he becomes a victim of the three modes of material nature. Indeed, whatever he does under the influence of material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.14, Na kartrittam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karma phalo sanyogam sabhavastu prabhu Sabhavastu pravartate. The embodied spirit, master of the city of this body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Actually, the living entity or soul does not do anything. Everything is done under the influence of the modes of material nature. When a man is diseased, the symptoms of the disease become a source of all kinds of pain. Those who are advanced in transcendental consciousness or Krishna consciousness are never envious. Neither of the soul nor the activities of the soul under the influence of material nature. Those who are advanced in transcendental consciousness or Krishna consciousness are never envious neither of the soul nor of the activities of the soul under the influence of material nature. Advanced transcendentalists are called sudhiya. Sudhi means intelligence. Sudhi means highly advanced and sudhi means devotee. One who is both devoted and highly advanced in intelligence does not take action against the soul or the body. If there is any discrepancy, he forgives. It is said that forgiveness is the quality of those who are advancing in spiritual knowledge. So, here, Narayan or Vishnu is instructing King Prithu. King Prithu became very angry at Indra because Indra stole his sacrificial horse and he tried to stop the sacrifice. Indra actually, although he is the king of the demigods, but he is actually very much in anxiety about losing his elevated position. Like, although he's a very, very elevated person, but you can see that his consciousness actually is not very advanced. He is still very attached to his material position. Like, the heavenly planets are also in the material nature. Although in the heavenly planets, the enjoyments are much higher, but still they are in the material nature. In the material nature, some places have higher enjoyments and some places have more intense suffering. So the degree of enjoyment and suffering differs in the material nature at different places. But after all, material nature is a place of misery. So one may be in the heavenly planets, or one may be in the lower planets, like Patal and hellish planets. Wherever one is bound to suffer, as long as he is attached to his material enjoyment. So we can see that Indra, although he is the king of the demigods, is a very, very coveted position. It's a very elevated position. And that place, demigods in heavens have all the enjoyments at their command. Whatever they desire, they can immediately get that. And material enjoyment means intoxication, women, and material luxury. So these all they have in abundance. They have beautiful palaces, they are decorated with all kinds of jewels and ornaments. Their form is very beautiful and they are very powerful. They are very youthful people, full of vitality. And they drink a heavenly intoxication. I don't know whether you can call it intoxication, because intoxication is poison. The word intoxication comes from the word toxin, which means poison. So intaking of poison is called intoxication. But in the heavenly planets, they don't get intoxicated with poison, but they have a nectarian intoxication. Like, when they drink that, this somaras, they become very full of vitality. And then the heavenly planets has beautiful ladies and beautiful musicians, the dancers, the Gandharvas are the musicians. Like King Bali drove Indra out. There are many, many instances when the demons drive out the demigods out of heaven. So the head of the demigods, Indra, the king of the demigods, Indra, becomes always very worried whenever he thinks, whenever he sees that some people is becoming powerful. So when he saw King Prithu performed 99 horse sacrifices, and he was about to perform the 100th one. And actually, when one performs 100 horse sacrifices, he becomes eligible to take over Indra's position. Like, just by performing 100 horse sacrifices, one can become Indra. Indra is actually a position, and living entities are awarded that position when he becomes qualified. It's like the position of a temple president. Like, temple president. Like, temple president is not the person. It's a position, but a person takes over that position. So the president of the demigods, or the king of the demigods, is the position of Indra. And so Indra gets into great anxiety when he sees that somebody is trying to become very powerful. And King Prithu, who is actually a Shaktavesh incarnation of the Lord, who is actually much more powerful than Indra. Indra tried to stop his horse sacrifice, causing impediment. And King Prithu became very angry. When he became so angry, he was such a powerful person that he could have caused a great havoc, great damage to the earth as well as to the heavenly planets. So at that time Krishna came and started to pacify him. And here Krishna is telling, Vishnu is telling King Prithu that, O king, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activities for others is considered best amongst human beings. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is different from the soul. So, Krishna advised King Prithu like this. He said, those who are really intelligent, they do not really care for their personal welfare. They are simply concerned about others' welfare. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed, Janmo sarthak kori karo paro upokar. Paro upokar means doing welfare to others. Par means others, and upokar means welfare. So those who are really advanced, those who are really intelligent, they should not waste their time and energy for the sake of their own material enjoyment. They should try to benefit others. And in order to benefit others, one must not become malicious. One must not become hateful towards others. Because actual welfare is founded on love. If somebody really cares for someone, then only he can benefit him. As I mentioned yesterday, that out of hatred we develop a tendency to exploit. Whereas out of love we try to do good to others. We try to benefit others. And that's why, according to the higher understanding, in the material platform, everyone is actually hating everybody else. In the material platform, everyone is full of hatred. Even when they talk about love, they actually talk about exploitation. They simply say that, I will exploit your body, and the other person says, oh, now I got a chance to exploit your body. So everyone, although they say that we love you, but actually, at the heart of their hearts, they're saying that we want to exploit you. That means, I hate you. In their lips, they're saying, they're talking about love, but in their heart, in their hearts, they actually plan about hatred. So that's why in the material platform, no relationship can be of any substance or any meaning. In order to do benefit to others, one must love others. And in order to love others, one must understand what actual love is. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has been pointed out that love is for Krishna. Love means the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. And in the material platform, what goes on in the name of love is actually lust. And lust means the desire to enjoy one's own senses. Now, senses need objects to become satisfied. The senses by itself is never satisfying.
The business of our senses is to drag our mind towards the objects of the senses. And by getting the objects of the senses, the conditioned living entities think that they are enjoying, or they are getting the taste of happiness or joy. So actually it is not love, it is called lust. Lust means desire for exploitation, kama. So in the material platform, what goes on in the name of love is actually lust. But real love is the love for Krishna. Real love is the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. Real love is the desire to give pleasure to Krishna's senses. And that is devotion. That is devotional service. So unless and until one has been situated on the platform of devotional service, he cannot love. So this way we can understand that only the devotees are capable of loving, nobody else. Others are knowingly or unknowingly trying to exploit each other. So Vishnu is instructing Prithu Maharaj here that you are an intelligent person, so you should not become malicious to others. On the other hand, with your intelligence, you must consider that these people are actually in a state of insanity. They have become kind of mad. And in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining that one cannot actually get angry at a madman. If a madman comes and calls you names, do you get angry with him? No. You can't. You should not. And Prabhupada is giving the example, like, if a madman even commits a murder, even then he becomes excused, pardoned by the judge. Because a madman doesn't know what he is doing. And in the material platform, everyone is actually mad. So indirectly, Vishnu pointed out that even Indra is a madman. Like, Prithu Maharaj should realize that Indra is actually a madman, mad person. Why? Because he wants to enjoy the material nature. But can anybody enjoy the material nature? Never. Can anybody satisfy his hunger by looking at the mirror, the reflection of the food in the mirror, or in a painting of a nice plate of prasadam. Like, if you're very hungry and if somebody gives you a painting, can that satisfy your hunger? You may think, oh, how beautiful it is, and now all this food are actually mine for enjoyment. But it never satisfies his hunger. So same way, this material nature is a perverted reflection. And by our endeavors to exploit this material nature, by our endeavor to accumulate this material object, we can never become satisfied. And those who try to do that, you can be rest assured that he is a madman. Like, if you see a person who is hungry, he is sitting with a painting of a nice plate of prasadam, and he is trying to eat out of the painting, struggling to fill his stomach, sitting in front of the painting. What do you think of him? You can immediately conclude that's a madman, right? Because no sane man will ever try to fill his stomach or satisfy his hunger by looking at a painting or by looking at a reflection of a mirror in a mirror. So one may be Indra or one may be a beggar in the street, No matter how powerful or how weak one is, as long as one is attached to material enjoyment, he is a madman. And those who are in an elevated position, they should never become angry with them. They should never become hateful towards them, malicious towards them. And that's why devotees have to be full of compassion. Prabhupada displayed great compassion. Often we wonder, while managing the affairs of ISKCON, we often consider that how compassionate Prabhupada used to be. Devotees would cause great, great offense to Prabhupada, to the society, to the other devotees, but Prabhupada would forgive them. And from that we can understand the elevated position of Srila Prabhupada. We can also consider Nityananda Prabhu. Madhai hit him on the head. Jagai and Madhai, two drunkards, they were actually the incarnations of Ravan and Kumbhakarna, Shishupal and Dantavakra, and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, a great demon. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, they are born as Jagai and Madhai. And when Nityananda Prabhu preached to them, they were, "Please, my dear brothers, chant the holy name of Krishna." Now, Nityananda Prabhu thought that they are the most sinful people. Now, if I can convert them, then the whole world will see the potency of the holy name. As Prabhupada used to say, the shoot the rhinoceros, when you go to hunt, don't go for rabbits or things. Like if you're a big hunter, then go to hunt for the rhinoceros. Prabhupada used to say that if you can't get the rhinoceros, at least you'll get a deer. So, Nityananda Prabhu wanted to get the biggest game, Jagai and Madhai. And because they were so sinful, there was no crime that they didn't commit. And first day when Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur went to Jagai and Madhai and requested them to chant, then Jagai and Madhai got very angry and they chased them. And Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, although Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram himself and Haridas Thakur is Brahma, but they were playing a pastimes. So they played a game with them, and they ran away from them. So when Jagai and Madhai chased them, Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they ran, and Jagai and Madhai ran after them, trying to catch them. And then Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur hid behind some big clay pots. And Jagai and Madhai could not find them, so then they became frustrated and went back. So the next day Nityananda Prabhu thought that let us go and preach to them again. So he went with Haridas Thakur. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur used to go out to preach. They used to go from door to door and request people to chant the holy name of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Jagai and Madhai were completely drunk at that time. And they had a pot full of, empty pot of wine. So Madhai with that pot hit Nityananda Prabhu on the head. And he started to bleed. And immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there and he invoked his Sudarshan Chakra. He wanted to destroy these two demons immediately. But then they fell down at his lotus feet. And Nityananda Prabhu tried to stop Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "My Lord, in this incarnation, you have taken a vow not to use any weapon. Your weapon in this incarnation is love. So, Nitya Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refrained from killing them, being begged by Nityananda Prabhu. And Jagayan Madhai fell down at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them to beg forgiveness from Nityananda Prabhu, and if he forgave, then he would forgive them. And so Nityananda Prabhu immediately forgave them. And so this is the quality of a devotee. It's very, very forgiving. Forget and forgive. Jesus also displayed the same kind of compassion. Of course, qualitatively you can see that this kind of compassion was much more profound than the compassion of Jesus. But still, Jesus also instructed that if someone slaps you on your left cheek, then you offer him the other cheek. So this is how one should be forgiven. Also, there's another incidence when somebody asked Jesus, how many times should one forgive his enemy? And Jesus' answer was, unlimited times. Always forgive. There's no question of once, twice, or thrice. Forgive him all the time. And it needs a lot of strength. To be so forgiving, one needs a lot of strength. And what is that strength? That strength is detachment. If we are attached to our material enjoyment, then only we become angry. When we become frustrated in our enjoyment, then anger develops. That dhayate vishayan pungsha sangaste supajayate sangat sangjayate kamo. Kam means lust. Kamat krodho vijayate. From lust, anger develops. By means of due to our lust, we want to enjoy, and when you become frustrated in our endeavor to enjoy, then you become angry. So actually anger is a symptom of attachment. But a person who is detached, who does not have any desire to enjoy this material nature, he can be very forgiving. We can consider this point, like, if somebody takes something away from you that doesn't have any value to you, you do not become angry, right? Like if somebody comes and tells you that, can I take some mud? You'll say, okay, take as much as you want. But if somebody comes and tells you, can I take your money? Then he'll immediately say, why should I give you my money? Then you are not generous. Why? Because you are attached to your money. But things that you are not attached to, you do not care whether one comes and takes it or leaves it. So an advanced devotee who is a really intelligent person, he sees the whole material nature as a piece of dirt. And he doesn't have any attachment to that. And if somebody says, well, I want so much dirt, he says, well, he actually tries to give him an advice. He says, why wasting your time by accumulating this dirt? Better get rid of it. But if the person is insistent, then finally he says, okay, then take it. If you are so much attached to this dirt, then take it. Like Sanatana Goswami, when the Brahmin approached Sanatana Goswami, complaining to him that how unkind the Lord is because the Lord didn't give him money, then Sanatana Goswami first tried to give him advice. He said, look, actually it is a benediction from the Lord to be poor. If you're poor, actually it is a blessing in disguise. Because when you do not have anything, when you are poverty-stricken, then you become detached. And this detachment is a great opulence. But that man would not listen. He kept on insisting, no, I have my family, I have to maintain my family, I have my daughters to marry, I have my sons to give education, I have my wife who always wants nice ornaments and saris. So the man was complaining. Finally, Sanatana Goswami told him, okay, go to the garbage pile at the back of my heart, and there you will find there is a touchstone. So you take it. Now a touchstone is the most precious object on this earth planet. Like the most precious metal is gold. And touchstone turns any metal into gold. So you can well imagine how valuable a touchstone is. And Sanatana Goswami just gave it to him like that. Okay, you take it. So that means Sanatana Goswami had the touchstone and he kept it in the garbage pile. Because to him, a touchstone was a garbage. So that is the sign of advancement. How much we are considering that the objects of this material nature are actually garbage. But we have another duty, another business, that is we convert the garbage into spiritual objects by offering them to Krishna. In the material nature, everything is garbage. But when you offer it to Krishna, then it becomes Krishna Prasad. Then it becomes transcendental. Then it becomes spiritual. But for ourselves, we should not desire anything. More advanced we are, more detached we should become. And then only we will be able to display the compassion. In Krishna consciousness, we pray when offering obeisances to the other Vaishnavas. We say, Bancha Kalpa Torubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha. Actually, that is the symptom of a Vaishnava. He is like a desire tree that fulfills all desires. Anybody can approach a Vaishnava and desire whatever he wants, and Vaishnava would fulfill his desires. And he does it by giving him the most precious object. Like if your higher needs have been fulfilled, then automatically your lower needs become fulfilled. Like Prabhupada used to give the example, if you have 100 francs in your pocket, that means you already have 10 francs, 20 francs, and so on and so forth. All your needs for 10 francs and 20 francs have been taken care of. With just one 100 franc, you don't actually have 100, say 1,000 franc bill. If you have 1,000 francs in your pocket, that means 10 francs, 20 francs needs have been taken care of already. So when we approach a Vaishnava, then Vaishnava gives us Krishna consciousness. And because Krishna consciousness is the highest object, then all our other needs are immediately taken care of. That's why when one comes to Krishna consciousness, he becomes fully satisfied. Whatever desires he may have becomes immediately satisfied by Krishna consciousness. Why? Because it is the spiritual need that has become fulfilled. When our spiritual needs become fulfilled, then our material needs automatically become fulfilled. Of course, due to our insanity, due to our madness, we still maintain some material attachments for the time being. But if we stick to the process, then that insanity will be cured. We'll become cured of our insanity, and will become situated in proper Krishna consciousness, proper understanding of our ultimate goal. And Prabhupada is pointing out further in the shloka that a devotee, because of his elevated intelligence, he sees the difference between the spirit and the body, and he sees that whatever is happening in the material platform is due to his physical identity or his physical attachments. Like prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa. In this material nature, everything is happening according to the guna and karma. According to the modes of the material nature or interaction between the modes of the material nature and our activities. Our activities are producing the reactions and we become liable to suffer or enjoy those reactions. So a person who is situated in proper understanding, he will see that how everyone is acting according to his guna and karma reactions. And he would not blame the spirit soul for that. So he knows that the spirit soul is beyond any material contamination. And that's why he tries to get the spirit soul. And he does not consider what he has been doing. Like, this was very obvious with Prabhupada. Prabhupada did not consider what one did in the past. But as soon as they came to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada immediately accepted them. I remember once, I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj, asked Prabhupada, he was lamenting, Prabhupada, we are so sinful in the past. And Prabhupada said, that was all superficial. Because as soon as I called you, you just came in. So that's how a Vaishnava looks at the individuals. He does not consider his background, he does not consider his past, how sinful he was. But as soon as he becomes a devotee, as soon as he surrenders to Krishna, then he knows that he becomes free from all his sinful reactions. So in the past we may have been sinful, but still Prabhupada had accepted us in spite of our heaps of sinful activities. Because Prabhupada did not see us as the bodies. Prabhupada saw us as the spirit souls. And Prabhupada salvaged our spirits by giving us Krishna consciousness. So now, in turn, we have to display the same kind of compassion towards other living entities. Like, does not matter from whatever one may have been in the past. Mahaprabhu delivered Jagai and Madhais. Prabhupada delivered living entities, those who are very, very sinful. And we also have to display the same kind of generosity or broad-mindedness and deliver the conditioned living entities all over the world. In the course of our preaching, sometimes we'll be insulted, sometimes we'll be tortured. Many devotees are being tortured in Russia. In other places also they are being tortured. They're being persecuted. But if we are situated on real spiritual platform, if we are situated on Krishna consciousness, then we should not become disheartened by these difficulties. On the other hand, those who try to cause harm to us, we should be even compassionate towards them. And then only we'll be able to become the true followers of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yeah, I mentioned that before, like, yes, devotees use things, those material objects in Krishna's service. And so he does develop some kind of attachment. The way the servant becomes attached to the master's possessions, the master's property. So we should develop that kind of attachment with the understanding that they are actually Krishna's property and here Krishna is my master, so I must protect Krishna's property. But we should be careful that we do not become attached because of our sense enjoyment. There is a very thin line between materialistic activities and devotional service. Apparently it is the same. From outside it appears to be the same. But you can detect it from the depth of it. Like, when the service is done, or when something is done for the sake of Krishna, then it is devotional service. But when it is done for our sense enjoyment, then it is material. Otherwise it is the same. Apparently it is the same. Arjuna was fighting a battle, and Duryodhana was fighting a battle. Right? Both of them were actually in the battlefield. Both of them were fighting very valiantly. Now, what is the difference between Arjuna and Duryodhana? Duryodhana was trying to keep his kingdom for the sake of his own enjoyment. Whereas Arjuna was fighting the battle because Krishna wanted him to fight. Arjuna himself didn't want to fight. So both of them are fighting the battle, but they are for, you know, two different purposes. So that's why there is a very thin line between devotional service and sense enjoyment. Now we have to be careful and detect in the depth of our hearts what is actually our intention. Is it sense enjoyment or devotional service? Am I doing it for my enjoyment or for my love for Krishna, or our love for Prabhupada? That's all right, because spiritual bliss means Krishna conscious, right? Actually, spiritual bliss does not come from exploitation. You do not get spiritual bliss by exploiting Krishna or his devotees. You get the spiritual bliss by rendering service to Krishna and his devotees. Right? So when you are rendering service, that means you do not really want to exploit, or you do not want to do things for your enjoyment. That is another enjoyment. That is a different kind of enjoyment. That is not sensual enjoyment. That is a spiritual enjoyment. And that is the real enjoyment, and we are actually trying to get that enjoyment. We want enjoyment. Everybody wants enjoyment. Right? If there was no enjoyment in Krishna consciousness, then we wouldn't have been here. Right? Why would we like to become a devotee? Because we want to become joyful. Like Prabhupada would give the example, like when Prabhupada was preaching to the acid heads and junkies in New York, Prabhupada's slogan was, stay high forever. They want to stay high, they want to go high by intoxication. But that high is temporary. You get high for the time being and then you come down. And coming down is very painful, right? So Prabhupada said that stay high forever. You get the enjoyment that will never bring you down. It'll simply go higher and higher and higher. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
not even with comparison with was made with Nityananda. Prabhupada made the comparison with Vasu Ghosh, Vasudev Datta. Vasudev Datta wanted to deliver the whole world at the expense of his going to hell forever. That's how he prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That you deliver the whole world and let me take all their sins. Now, the dimension of this compassion was greater than Jesus's. That's how Prabhupada explained it. Like, well, on the other hand, we can say that Jesus did not display that broad concept of compassion. Now, he displayed, you know, very profound compassion, but it was for a community of people, whereas Vasudev Datta displays his compassion for the entire universe. And Nityananda Prabhu, he is Balaram himself, he is the source of all the living entities. Like, his compassion is that in a moment, he can deliver all the living entities. Because he is the source of all the spirit souls. Source of all the living entities. Is that clear? Yeah. Actually, the Vaishnavas never commit offense. Right? Because Vaishnavas are so favorably disposed to each other that there is no room for offense. It's only when you fall down from the Vaishnava platform or when you do not behave like a Vaishnava, we commit offense. So actually, to commit offense, we have to come down from the Vaishnava platform. Being situated on the Vaishnava platform, we cannot commit offense. There is no instance when one Vaishnava committed offense to another. There may be some heavy pastimes, like Nityananda Prabhu kicked Shivananda Sen because he didn't make arrangement for his food and shelter. They were traveling from Bengal to Puri, and Shivananda Sen used to arrange for their food and accommodation. And Shivananda Sen got late one day because he was negotiating with the tax collectors on the border. And Nityananda Prabhu got very upset that he was hungry and there was no food. So at first he cursed Shivananda Sen that all his sons will die. And then when Shivananda Sen came, he, in his anger, he just kicked him on the chest. But what did Shivananda Sen do? Shivananda Sen immediately accepted it as Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. So this is how sweet the Vaishnava world is. Like, even if somebody kicks you on the chest, you embrace him and say, "Oh my Lord, I'm so fortunate that I received your mercy." Who? Sharadamana? Or Dhamma? We should not imitate their acting. Well, sometimes senior devotees will give you some advice. Senior devotees will give the junior devotees some advice. The junior devotees should take it with the right spirit. Isn't it? But if we do not, then there will be trouble. Actually, biggest threat to Krishna consciousness is the transgression of Vaishnava etiquette. You see, there is always a very strict code of conduct in the Vaishnava world, and that has to be followed. Like we can say, when we see the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, we can see it is the senior devotees who are chastising the junior devotees. Like Nityananda Prabhu kicked Sivananda Sen, but Sivananda Sen never kicked Nityananda Prabhu. There's never any transgression. That is done out of love, and actually in relationship he is superior. Like the same way Ramchandra Puri chastised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted it. Right? It was because he is a superior. But junior ones never transgressed Vaishnava etiquette. That's why it is said, Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Vigyana Bujhai. Even a learned man cannot understand the activities of a Vaishnava. It's so transcendental. Hare Krishna. Oh yeah. You want to ask a question? Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Fourth canto, chapter 20, text 1. I forgot to mention earlier, this chapter is entitled as Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Prithu. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, being very much satisfied by the performance of 99 horse sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, appeared on the scene. Accompanying him was King Indra. Lord Vishnu then began to speak." This verse doesn't have any purport, so I'll go over to the next one, text 2. Shri Bhagavan Ubacha, Esha Te Eka Shrid Bhangam Hayomegha Shatashaha Khama payato atmanam amusha khantum arhasi. Translation. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, "My dear King Prithu, Indra, the King of Heaven, has disturbed your execution of 100 sacrifices. Now he has come with me to be forgiven by you. Therefore, excuse him." Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Atmanam is very significant. It is custom among yogis and jnanis to address one another, or even an ordinary man, as oneself. For a transcendentalist never accepts a living being to be his body. Since the individual self is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self and the super-self are qualitatively non-different. As the next verse will explain, the body is only a superficial covering, and consequently an advanced transcendentalist will not make a distinction between one's self and another. So Prabhupada is pointing out the expression here, Atmanam, which has been translated here as yourself, unto yourself. But actually this word Atmanam literally means the self. Atma means the spirit soul, and Atmanam means to the spirit soul. So here Prabhupada is pointing out that this word Atmanam is very significant, because a transcendentalist always sees a living entity as a spirit soul. He doesn't consider the living entity to be the body, because body is just a temporary covering. And beyond that temporary covering is the real self, and that is the real personality. So here, King Prithu has been addressed as the spirit soul, not as O King Prithu or so and so forth, but you, the spirit soul. Also in Gita, Krishna has explained that when one becomes situated on the Brahma Bhuta platform, when one becomes situated on the transcendental platform, then Shama Sarveshu Bhutesu, then one sees every living entity equally, with an equal vision. And Prabhupada also explained there that that equality is due to the spiritual identity of the individual. Like if we see the material identity, then of course there are differences. Different people look different, different people have different characteristics, different natures, they belong to different nationalities and religious convictions, and there are so many differences. But to a transcendentalist, those differences are insignificant. Why? Because those differences are simply pertaining to the bodies. And a transcendentalist knows that that one in his real identity is not the body, this material body, he is the spirit soul. And qualitatively all the spirit souls are equal. All the spirit souls are qualitatively the same. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the Supreme Spirit. And every living entity is his part and parcel. So that understanding is very, very important. And when we are situated in that understanding, then we cannot possibly hate anyone. We immediately feel love for everybody. Because this feeling of equality, that everyone is mine, the Sanskrit word for that is mamata. I'm sure you all know the expression mamo means mine. Ahang mameti. And mamata means that feeling of mineness, that everything is actually mine. Now this is not a feeling of mine with a tendency to exploit. Like in the material platform, people also have that feeling that this is mine and that is yours. This is my house, this is my car, this is my family, and so on and so forth. But that is a material concept. But in the spiritual platform also one has that feeling of mine. But that is not a feeling that is based on the desire for exploitation. In the material platform everyone is trying to exploit, and everyone is trying to exploit in order to enjoy. Everyone thinks that he is going to derive some joy out of exploiting other objects in the nature. But that is not the case with the spiritual platform. In the spiritual platform is diametrically opposite to this exploitative platform. In the material platform everyone tries to exploit, whereas in the spiritual platform everyone tries to serve. That is, the spiritual platform means a platform of service. And this desire for service is also based on mamata, or the feeling of mineness, that this is mine, and that's why I feel attracted or drawn towards him. And that's why I feel like doing something for him. This can be explained as the father and mother towards their children. A father or a mother, they do not look at their children generally with a desire to exploit. They want to do things, especially the mother wants to do things for the child, simply out of her affection for the child. And why does the mother want to do that? Because the mother has a feeling that this is mine. This child is mine. And that's why she wants to do something for the child. Because the mother feels that the child is non-different from herself. So in the material platform, that is the extreme attachment. The extreme attachment in the material platform is the attachment between the mother and her children. But this is actually a perverted reflection of our spiritual relationship. The spiritual relationship is based on that feeling of mindness, and that is completely spiritual. That is completely based on the spiritual identity. A spiritually elevated person recognizes himself as a part and parcel of Krishna, and he also recognizes everybody else as parts and parcels of Krishna. So that's how they feel the similarity, that we belong to the same source. We belong to the same Father. And in that relationship, we all are related to each other as brothers. So that feeling is the very basic manifestation of the spiritual understanding. In the spiritual platform, if we do not have harmony, if we do not have this love for each other, which is manifested in the form of friendship, then we have to understand that something is actually wrong with our spiritual practice. Prabhupada often, he used to say that this society is based on love and trust. And that is the indication of how we are actually advancing spiritually. How much we have developed the love and trust for each other. That will be the sign of our advancement. If instead of loving each other and trusting each other, if we hate each other and doubt each other, then that is not quite spiritual. So you have to be very careful, especially when we transcend the Kanishtha Adhika platform. In the Kanishtha Adhika platform, one does not have that broad-mindedness. One does not have that profound understanding. In the Kanishtha Adhika platform, one actually is narrow-minded. That's why it's Kanishtha Adhika platform, the third-class platform of devotional service. But when devotees become situated on the second-class platform, Madhyam Adhikar platform, then he develops a spontaneous friendship for the other devotees. He develops affection for the innocent conditioned souls, and he avoids the demoniac people. That is the sign of a Madhyamadhikari devotee, second class devotee. Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu dvisatsucha premo maitri kripa upekha jakaruti samadhama. For Krishna he has love. For Krishna's devotees he has friendship. For the innocent living entities he has compassion. And for the demons he has disregard or neglect. He avoids the demons. So if we want to be situated on the second class platform, then we have to display that tendency. But even higher is the first class platform, and that is the platform that Prabhupada is talking about here. The first class platform is Uttamadhikar platform is Sarvabhuteshu japashet Bhagavad Bhavamatmanah. Sarvabhuteshu, in all living entities, he sees japashet Bhagavad Bhavamatmanah. He sees the manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavad Bhava. So that is the Uttamadhikar platform. Of course, artificially we cannot imitate that platform. It is a matter of inner development, and as we develop inwardly, our nature will also develop. So when you become a Uttamadhikari devotee, then when our heart has become completely free from material contaminations, when our hearts have become completely attracted and dedicated to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then this Uttamadhikar characteristics will automatically become manifest. But at least we can try to transcend the Kanishtha Adhikar platform. The Kanishtha Adhikar platform is one who sees only Krishna, recognizes only Krishna. Archayam eva haraye, not only recognizes, he worships Krishna. Archayam eva haraye, pujang jashuddhaye hate, natad bhakteshu channeshu, sa bhakto prakrita smitaha. He worships Krishna with shraddha, with devotion, with faith. For Krishna he has faith, for Krishna he has respect, but he does not recognize natad bhakteshu. He does not recognize Krishna's devotees and channeshu or others. He is considered to be prakrita bhakta. Prakrita means materialistic devotee. He is very much in the material nature. So he sees, he recognizes Krishna and he thinks that I am the greatest devotee. And he doesn't recognize anybody else. So that is a third class platform. So at least we can try to transcend that platform. And by transcending that platform, when we come to the Madhyamadhikar platform, then automatically we develop a friendly relationship with the devotees. And it's very, very important, especially in this age when we are practicing the Sankirtan mood, the congregational or united endeavor for spiritual advancement, it is very, very important that we develop a favorable attitude towards other devotees. Often Prabhupada pointed out that nothing can actually destroy our movement from outside. The only way this movement can be destroyed is by internal quarrels and internal fightings. Nothing can destroy this movement from outside. Only this movement can be destroyed from inside. So that's why Prabhupada time and time again pointed out that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. If we love Prabhupada, then we have to display our love for Prabhupada through our cooperation with each other. We may not like each other. We may find many, many defects in other devotees. But because of our love, we have to tolerate. The way, due to the love for the father, the brothers become united. Some brother may be a rascal, but other brothers still treat him like a brother. Why? Because they love the father. The same way, if we love Prabhupada, then we have to display our love for him by cooperating with each other. And cooperation means tolerating. Cooperation means sacrifice. Cooperation means accepting difficulties for the sake of others. That is the meaning of cooperation. But instead, if we are simply concerned about our own benefits, our own profits, our own material comforts, then it will become difficult to cooperate. Because when there is a tendency to exploit, then cooperation becomes very difficult. So sacrifice is the answer to our unity. Sacrifice is the answer to our spiritual advancement. We have to sacrifice our material likes and dislikes for our spiritual gain. We have to reject matter. We have to give up matter for our spiritual benefit. And it may be difficult in the beginning, but in the long run, it will become easy. Prabhupada also pointed out that when we want to offer something to others, then automatically the others accept us. But if we want to take things from others, then if we simply want to take from others, then they won't like it. And it's such a simple formula. Like if you go to somebody and tell him that, look, I have something to give you, then he'll immediately like you. But if you go and say, give me, I have come here to take everything from you, then it'll become very... He won't like it. So, and here we have been assigned with the duty to give the greatest benefit to the living entities. So we should become very, very aware of our position. We should become very much concerned about our duties. And if we do that, then everything will become wonderful. So, and then only we'll be able to see others as the spirit souls instead of seeing others as bodies. Like so many difficulties arise because of our body consciousness. If we are situated in the body consciousness, then immediately we'll begin to judge each other, begin to see each other from the external physical considerations. Oh, you are an American, I'm an European, or you are an Asian and I am an African, and so on and so forth. So let's fight. So whenever there is such discord, then people immediately begin to fight. But our movement is transcendental to all these material considerations. And that's why in our society we are so harmoniously related to each other. In our society, we do not care from what background one is coming, from what country one is coming. And very proudly, Prabhupada used to say that. Prabhupada often used to say that in the United Nations, in the name of unity, they are actually increasing the discord, increasing the disunity. Prabhupada said that each time I come to New York City and walk by this United Nations building, I see that the number of flags have increased. Now what does it mean? The more flags means more nations. In the name of, they are claiming that they are going to unify the whole world, but actually they are increasing the numbers of the nations. Whereas in our society, the Russians and Americans and Chinese and Japanese and Indians and Pakistanis, they all are together. And this is the real United Nations. This movement is actually unifying the whole world. But unfortunately, these politicians are so blind that they are not recognizing this. They simply say, actually they don't want to unify the world. They can't, because if they unify the world, then their interest will be completely shattered. They have to sacrifice all their personal motivation. And they can't do that. They are so selfish. They are so motivated that they cannot actually do that. But if we really want to unify the whole world, then this Krishna consciousness movement is the answer. If it works in a smaller sphere, then obviously this principle will apply to a bigger sphere. Like in our small little society, it works. This Krishna consciousness movement, Krishna consciousness principles have unified the people in ISKCON. So if that principle is applied worldwide, then the whole world will become united. At least we do not have any doubt about that. Now it is up to the people, those who are in power, to apply that principle. If President Reagan and Gorbachev get together and say, let's become Hare Krishnas, then the whole world will immediately become united. But the thing is, those people are not sincere. They don't want to benefit conditioned living entities. They don't want to benefit people. They simply want to benefit their senses and their immediate expansions of their senses, their family and friends. And for the sake of that, they don't mind destroying the whole world, and they are actually destroying the whole world. But we have to try to influence people, we have to try to preach, so that more and more people can understand that. It may take many years, we may not see the total success of Krishna consciousness movement in our lifetime, but one thing at least we are positive about, we are 100% convinced about one thing, that this movement is going to save the world, provided we spread this movement properly. So that is the responsibility we have. Like, we have to become devotees of Krishna. We have to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness movement, and we have to spread the principles of this movement. And as more and more people become attracted, become convinced, then someday the whole world will be transformed. And it will happen. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction will come true. And the scriptural prediction that for 10,000 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, the golden age will be established in this iron age. So that golden age will positively be established. At least we are experiencing the golden age in our society. Our life has become wonderful. And now that principle, as it spreads all over the world, the golden age will be established on this earth planet. And millions of people will be delivered and go back to Godhead and be situated in their eternal life of knowledge and bliss. So let us become fixed up in our understanding and conviction and keep pushing this movement onwards with a desire to save the world. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yeah, the love between mother and children is material, based on the body, right? But spiritual friendship is based on the spirit soul. So it is even higher. But if the mother, the Krishna conscious mother, considers her child to be a spirit soul, and sees that this child of mine is actually a spirit soul, and my duty is to make this child into a devotee, then it transcends the material platform. Then it is a spiritual platform. Yeah, that's an indication that we are not practicing. We are not practicing. Our practice is defective. So that's why we have to be concerned that we do not just externally pretend to be devotees and internally behave like karmis. So we have to become a devotee at heart. Like, why there are divorce? Because they are relating to each other, husbands and wives are relating to each other according to their physical or material urges. If they are situated on the spiritual platform, there is no question of divorce. In the Vedic society, there is no question of divorce. Because a man and woman doesn't get together for their sense gratification, but they get together for spiritual advancement. Now, murder, as you mentioned, yes, it's there. Why? Because some people are so avaricious, for they're so greedy for their material position, that they would not allow any hindrance on their way. And if anybody is coming on their way, they don't hesitate to eliminate that person. So these are the defects. And we have to learn from those defects that we do not become prey to this defective approach. When you become devotees, then there cannot be any discord among ourselves. I'm not saying that we have become perfect, but I'm urging everyone to try to become perfect. And when you become perfect, then you'll have perfect harmony, you'll have perfect unity. And actually, by Krishna's mercy, that is happening. That is happening. Gradually, the devotees in our society are becoming more and more united. And those who do not want to become united by Krishna's arrangement, they are being eliminated. This movement is directly taken care of by Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let us become sincere. May Krishna will help us. And as we endeavor to become purified, as we endeavor for purity, those who are endeavoring, they will become united. And that is the strength of our movement. The pure people, the pure devotees, or those who are aspiring for purity, and they will become united. But those who want to create disturbance, they will be eliminated in due course of time. So let us line up properly so that we do not become eliminated by Krishna. Who? Yeah, very good question. Krishna wanted to protect, but when they became insincere, and Krishna saw that these people are actually nonsense, so Krishna gave up hope. If the people, those who are manning the society, if they are not sincere, then why Krishna will help? And when the sincere person who was struggling to unify and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world according to the instruction of his spiritual master, then Krishna came and gave him all the help. So actually Gauriamath is still there, but Gauriamath has actually become manifest in ISKCON today. The real Gauriamath is in ISKCON. And what is actually existing in the name of Gauriamath is just a dead shell without the life. What's the difference between a dead body and a living body? The dead body cannot function, whereas the living body is able to do everything. So ISKCON is capable of doing everything. Whereas other so-called Vaishnava sampradayas, they are just ringing the bells and making some money displaying their deities to maintain themselves. That's about all they have reduced to. Anyway, you understand what is that, don't you? And there is no need to go into elaborate details. Because cooperation means it's a sign of spiritual movement or our spiritual inclination. But disunity is a sign of material motivation. Like, for instance, if you come to give me something, then how can I possibly not like you? Right? If you come and give me a lot of money, shall I ask you that you get out of here? No. But if you come to exploit me, then one day, 2 days, 3 days, I may tolerate you. But on the fourth day, I'll say, Prabhu, please, you go to some other temple. Right? So that's why, I mean, if we simply want to give without desiring to take, especially the senior devotees of our movement, if their tendency is to give instead of take, then I'm sure our society will become very healthy and our relationships will become very strong. Any other question? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.